Americana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Remember.
Just remember
says it's the best thing for the group.
What about what's best for me?
He feels that dreams can cross over.
What about how I feel?
But when we're famous, I'll write great things for you. Effie, do it for me.
What about me?
It's more than you, it is more than me. No matter what we are a family. This dream is for all of us, this one can be real. Stop us now because of how you feel. It's more than you, it is more than me. Whatever dreams we have, they're for the family.
Isn't always easy. Family life comes with its joys, its struggles, and its stories. That's why we created Family Room, the show where real conversations about parenting and family happens. Join Faye Kemi every Saturday at 6 p.m. on Radio Africana, right here in Manchester, as we dive into heartfelt conversations from raising confident children to keeping love alive at home to building stronger family bonds. Whether you're a parent, guardian, or simply part of a family, Family Room is your space to listen listen, share, and grow together. Family Room, because every family has a story worth telling. Only on Radio Africana, Manchester.
Good evening, beautiful people. Welcome to another relaxing Saturday edition of the Family Room on Radio Africana UK, live here in the city of Manchester. The show with an African heart and a global voice, wherever you're joining me from. Thanks to everyone that are already joining in on TikTok Live. Thank you. Keep joining and keep encouraging your girl. Thank you. So I'm your host, Faye Kemi, and as always, it's such a joy to spend your Saturday evening with me. I hope you've had a restful day. I've heard you had a fruitful week. Mine was awesome, you know, but you know, we just have to keep going on no matter what. I hope you're all doing well, your family. So maybe you're done a little bit of Christmas shopping, decoration. You can see the blings around me, and in the mood of what we're talking about today, we're talking about culture, we're talking about language, dialect. You know, I said a lot of things about that, you know, my social media handle like some days ago. So that's why I'm adorning myself in a cultural outfit this evening. So maybe you're done with that Christmas shopping and you've decorated your house, or you simply curled up on the sofa with a warm drink. Depends on the climb where you are. If you're in the hot climb, don't even bother to do that. Whichever way, welcome home. Welcome to the Family Room once again. Last week, we talked about importance of extended families. And today, we're building on that foundation with something equally powerful. You know, and it's just about our roots, you know. Rooted, teaching our children their indigenous language and culture. If your own language, if you don't have any indigenous language or culture, you're from the English speaking country and you don't have any tradition, it's fine. But as long as you're African, you're from the Caribbean, you're from different other parts of Europe, anywhere where you have a particular language that you speak that is not English, how are you teaching your children in a world where many of our children speak English better than we do and sometimes understand Netflix more than they understand grammar? I mean, the grandmas and the grandpas. This is a conversation we need to have. And tonight, I'm not going to be alone, though my guest is not in the studio, but she's going to be on the phone with me, and she's an amazing friend. She's also a life coach to so many people. And I don't, you know, when I was looking at the pool of people that I have, she's also an accomplished banker. And if she switches from her English accent to the Yoruba language, that's the one of the tribes in Nigeria, if she switches to that, she's also an interpreter. Say whatever you can say in English, she's an interpreter. She will interpret, like, she's a pro when it comes to that dialect. You know, I always look at her every time she interprets for pastors and for a lot of people. You know, she's an accomplished banker, but she's so rooted in that language. And she's also married to someone, you know, who is also from another tribe. So she understands, you know, the power of language, of dialect. And that's why I'm bringing her on board. So wherever you are listening to me live on Radio Africana, remember to follow me on Instagram and follow me on Facebook also. Follow me on YouTube. Faye Kemi Adeyemi Bangwishe is the name. And also remember, on TikTok, I'm FK Mighty. If you're not following me but you have joined, please follow me, because I've got a lot of content for family, for children, for parenting, you know, for parents as well. So just join me. So, and she's going to be here. She's going to be joining us on phone because we're going to call her in. And we'll go on a short break. When we come back, we take a quick dive into what we are going to be talking about. You know, we'll talk about the joys, we'll talk about the challenges, we'll talk about the practical ways to keep our languages and culture alive right wherever we are, whether in the UK, whether in Europe, whether in America, whether in the Asia, whether anywhere you find you are. But first, let's enjoy a short break with this music break, and I'll be right back.
Into Family Room with Feyi Kemi on Radio Africana, Manchester.
Yeah, welcome back. I can go on and on with that song. For those people on TikTok, I'm sure you already saw that I was dancing. I'm in Christmas mode. Yeah, welcome back. Tonight we are exploring how we can help our children stay connected to their roots. If you're I know that this the Asians, they always stay connected to their roots. You know, their languages, their names, their stories, you know, usually have meanings. So I'm going to be talking, like I said, that I'm not alone tonight, but my guest is not in the studio, but she's just live here with us on the phone, and she's going to be taking a dive into this. And I really want to apologize for bullying you into this. So my guest tonight is Kemi Ovie-Okoro. She's an accomplished banker. She's very, very versed when it comes to the Yoruba language. I wonder why she has not even ventured into acting. She's actually very, very good. So she understands what I know. She would talk about it with passion and meaning. So if you have other parents with you, wherever you are in the world and you're listening or you're watching me on TikTok, get everybody to listen to this one. So Kemi, you're welcome on the show. And she has four amazing and some boys and a dependable husband as well. So Kemi, you're welcome. I know you're not blushing.
Yeah, thank you, Faye Kemi. Hello everyone, it's good to be in the house with my girl.
Yeah,
Faye Kemi, nice work you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So we'll be talking about, you know, you understand this thing well. So it's not just African children, people generally in the world. So, and I'm not talking about diaspora now for you. Kemi is also someone that is partially in the diaspora. You know, she's here in the diaspora, and then in Nigeria, she's always here and there. So, but when we look at children, I'm not talking in the content of the diaspora alone, because you asked me that before the show. So generally, so they lose, even in Africa, they lose their mother tongue early. You know, they often do this. So should parents be worried because of these mixed languages? Should parents be worried when they lose this mother tongue? And sometimes our parents are worried. They said, no, I want my child to start speaking English. I remember I was worried initially when my mother wanted to start, not forcing, but making sure that my children understands Yoruba. And I thank her for that, you know, like, and even myself, that I speak it to them. Because if not, they would not just understand. The second one is a bit, she speaks less than the older one, but she understands. So I want to just ask, should parents be worried because of the mixed language, you know, having to teach your child? Should you be worried to teach your child the local dialect?
Thank you, Faikemi. I think, you know, across Africa, or maybe majorly in Nigeria, you know, when he posed the question that there is a loss of the African language in the diaspora, and I said no, not just in the diaspora, but I think even in the local country, we see a trend of the culture of the language going extinct one way or the other. And I think is a concern to an extent where you have your local dialect going maybe out of fashion, just because of globalization or migration, which had created a lot of, you know, it has a lot of opportunities, but to an extent, it's introducing some cultural displacement, which to me, I think, need to really be nipped in the bud. Our culture, or whichever culture, any part of the world, African, I think the culture is what makes you to stand out. So losing it out in entirety should be a cause for concern, and try to nip in the bud so that at least we still have what makes us us.
Yes.
So for me, I think it's still a concern. Yeah.
Okay, so some parents sometimes feel embarrassed, you know, because they can't speak fluently themselves. And children also sometimes reject the language out of shame or fear or sounding different. But when I look at it, you know, I went to school here with a lot of people from the Asian part of the world, Indians, you know, people from the Arabian part of the world, you know, and when they see themselves, the first thing they speak is their language. But sometimes I look at the African and the Caribbean people, you know, taking a back seat and all that. Why should our children feel rejected? What is your own advice now to parents?
Yeah, so I don't think children should feel dejected speaking the local language if it is well handled. We understand that the age we live in is different from our own time, where and things like that can be shoved down our throat. So if a child is not brought up speaking that language, and it comes to a time you now want a child to speak, I don't think it is something that should be forced so much. But firstly, making the child to understand that it's good to be bilingual. So that building that confidence in the child, I think it's the key thing. And trying to make the child understand why he or she need to get into that stream. Okay, I'll set an example. I have a boss in the office who was sharing with me some time back, and he was saying the child went to do a college. No, is it college now? I think high school. High school there in I think Canada. So our first week at the school, so our hostel, I think she was boarded with some other kids that speak Chinese. They are Chinese and they speak what is it called now?
I can't remember now.
So, to to push her aside, mm-hmm. they started speaking their own language. Mm. And this young girl from Nigeria could not speak Yoruba. She's a Yoruba day. She couldn't speak Yoruba. And there was really nobody around. All she could speak is English. And the guys in our room were Chinese guys, and they were just speaking their own language, just to not to talk to her. So to bail her out, I think maybe in the course of the next week or the following week after coming in, she had another Nigerian come in who speaks Yoruba fluently. So she had, you know, before that one came in, she was calling the mom and was always trying to ask, "Mom, what's the meaning of this? Mom, what's the meaning of this?" And the mom had apparently been trying to compel her before she left Nigeria to speak Yoruba. But she couldn't just speak. She wasn't just interested. And both mm-hmm. parents are Yorubas. She wasn't just interested. So they speak English at home. They started speaking English. So when she got out there, she was compelled to.
Wow.
So that way, there was no compulsion from the parents. Now, you mm-hmm. can see.
Yeah.
Situation has forced her to want to learn. Mm-hmm. So she will write, when she hears anything, when she goes out, she just whenever the parents come to Canada, she'll just tell them, "Mom, no English speaking. Just be speaking Yoruba. Mm-hmm. When I don't understand, I'll ask you." So she started trying to learn. She'll write it out for the parent to explain to her what that means. So there are instances that will compel a child to want to even know by themselves. So it's not a thing for you to, if you shove it down their throat, they wouldn't want to learn. So
true.
Number one thing is to let them have that reason for them to know.
Yeah.
Why do you have to understand your language? Yeah. Why is it important for you to be bilingual or bicultural?
And
them to understand that is a strength.
Yes. And that brings me to that question. Why is it important to teach our children? Come on, Kemi. We've got like 195 countries in the world. You know, if we exclude the two UN observer states, that's, we've got 193 countries in the world. And then we have like estimated over 7,000 languages. So it's a big deal for me. Many parents tells me, "Oh, my children understands but don't speak." Oh, do you understand? So why does that happen? Why should your children understand and not speak? If an Asian girl can speak, if someone from the Arabian country can speak, if someone from Pakistan can speak their language, you know, when I was in early years, sometimes I would just ask when some children, some parents from some parts of the Europe where they don't really speak English like that, when they come to pick up their children and they're speaking their local language to them and the children are, you know, responding. So I sometimes ask some of my colleagues, would that not be confusing for those children? They said no, they need to learn their local language. So for me, why is it important to teach our children? Can you give us one or two? You understand it. Why is it very important? You've given us one. Now you've just said it, painted a scenario. Why is it important?
Yeah. Okay. Like I started with, our language is more or less as part of our culture, is a strength,
mm-hmm.
Is a strength to us. So one of the reasons why it is important for our children to speak is to understand their root. Mm-hmm. It gives them that personality to know that this is me. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm outside there, but where we come from, this is what we do. One mm-hmm. of it is respect. Which mm-hmm. our language
True.
Teaches us.
True.
Our language teaches us you don't shout down on elders. Mm-hmm. You don't just speak to elders
you
the way
good
you
morning.
Speak to
you.
You
say good morning.
Yeah, you say
it's
good
shocking.
Morning.
When okay, a child like, here was just waving at me here.
Yeah.
And not saying good morning.
Okay. It's really, really appalling. My first time in Canada, I was in a church and I volunteered to be with some children and teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I want to just feel their pulse before, you know, knowing how I'm going to be attending to them. So I stood by the entrance. Faye came in.
Mm-hmm.
Say, if 20 teenagers or children came into that hall, maybe one greeted. One. And that greeting was just maybe with the head. You know, just, you know, when somebody greet you with the head.
Yeah.
That is not us.
That is not our culture.
So I was taken aback. So fast forward, I went out with, and my children, they know that no matter how tall you are, let you be tall, bro. No matter how tall you are, you must to an extent courtesy. If you can't prostrate where you are, there must some.
Yes, like taking a bow.
You bow.
The Englishmen bow.
Yeah. So we went out, which is their culture.
Yeah.
Which is their culture.
So why are we forgetting our culture?
We went out, So we went out and to a mall, and you know, this lady, my children just said, "Good morning, ma'am. Good morning." And there must be ma'am, not just good morning. There must be ma'am if it's a woman, and sir if it's a man.
You don't want to say ma.
So those are the things. You must have that, because that has a way of telling you the kind of person you're dealing with. And they saw this young lady and they said, "Good morning, ma'am." And the lady went berserk. She was like, "Sorry, madam. I just got greeted now." I was like, "What is happening? He's greeting a curse." So now I just got greeted now. She's a Caucasian. So now I just got greeted now. He greeted me and he said, "Good morning, ma'am." I said, "What happened? Has it committed anything?" He said, "No. I've not heard that in a while." So those are some of the things that our culture and our language brings to the table. So it's our strength. Our language is our strength. It teaches us how to behave, even outside, how to talk to your fellow person, even if it is your mate, how to relate with people. So those are some of the things that our language teaches us. It teaches us the communality that we stand for. We are communal people. Wherever we are, we want to look out for ourselves. So it teaches that as well. So those are the things that are imbibed in our language and our culture, so to say. So which is why it is important for us to have our children. Not all my children speak. Maybe because I'm Yoruba, my husband is Delta. So
it's a multicultural society in your home.
So for me, there's also a multicultural thing. I always wanted my children to speak their father's language as much as I speak also to them. So for their father, they can, to an extent, hear. They can speak. Because my husband is one person that you have to beg. And which is one of the root cause as well. Parents, maybe for men now. Women, which is, I think maybe that is the reason why they call it mother tongue. Because you see that it is more of the women doing the talk.
My husband is always blowing the English, and I'm the one that will speak. So, there was a time my husband said, "You speak too much, you're about to these children." But I have to.
Yeah, guys don't have that. Guys don't have that kind of time.
English,
so they just want
to flow. I will blow three sentences in Yoruba, then I will then speak English one sentence. This is such a powerful discussion, Kemi. Let's just take a quick break. When we return, we will look at the practical methods parents can start using this from this week. Practical methods that they can start. If you're on TikTok, remember to power tab, remember to follow me on all my social media handles. If you want to learn more about Yoruba, maybe when we bring or learn more, if you are in the diaspora and you want someone to teach your children or help your children, maybe you might be consulting me and I'll be consulting Kemi. I know she's too busy for that anyway, but something might come up soon to know to help our children to learn more. So we'll go on a quick break and we'll come back and dive straight into the practical methods parents can start using this week. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
I work hard
Yeah, welcome back. We're still here with the guests. You know, I love that song. I cannot, you know, those are the kind of songs that you listen to. They are evergreen. That's Yvonne Chaka Chaka. You know, evergreen, and they make sense, you know. You know, not just anything. It's not just Basbos putting things together and all that. So you're welcome back. We are still here with our guest, Kemi. I told you that she's an accomplished banker, but she, when it comes to our local dialect, the one of the tribe in Nigeria that is Yoruba language, she's very versatile. She's very good, you know. And now I want us to get into the practical strategies, and we'll actually teach her how do we actually teach our children language and culture in a place like people that especially that are living in diaspora. You know, how do we teach our children, people that are living in different parts of the world, how do we teach? Especially, I want you to speak to maybe the African and the Caribbeans. For the Asians, they are doing very well when it comes to teaching their children their language and their culture. They are doing very, very well. So, but Africans and Caribbeans, So what are those things? You know, what are the simple daily habits that can help parents? That's number one. Teach their children their native language. What are the simple, you know, daily habits?
Okay, thank you, Ikemi. I like that part where you say that the Asians are getting it right there, and I think that is just apt. They're not losing sight of what they stand for. And there is no long or short daily habit that can be introduced other than consistency in the journey that one is trying to embark on, which is the journey to ensure that the children pick the local dialect. And the most effective, like I said, habit is that consistency. It doesn't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You don't look for perfection in that, but just ensure that each day you're not losing sight of what you're trying to get. Mm-hmm. And you don't make it a long lesson or boring, where you now get them to sign off from that aspect of trying to learn. So simple daily routine will be maybe just, you know, you're working with your children, mm-hmm. and you know, you're speaking it to them, mm-hmm. during breakfast, mm-hmm. During bedtime, you're telling them bedtime stories, mm-hmm. especially when it has to do maybe with the way you grew up, mm-hmm. You're mm-hmm. telling them the stories in Yoruba or whatever language, mm-hmm. That you're speaking. When you want to pray, you're praying in Yoruba or your language, Igbo, Hausa, Delta, Robo, and all that. You're praying in your language, and you know, to an extent, they want to know, what did you just say now? What's the meaning of that? Mm. From time to time, as you're saying that, you have short conversations. Maybe after school, you do a pickup, and you're asking them about their day in your local dialect. Mm. Different things like that. Just, but mm-hmm. the notion is that you just make it fun with them. My second son, you know, whenever I'm speaking, say, "Da your Yoruba." I say, "Is it my own language? That is that your Yoruba?" So we make, but I speak it to them. And you know, there's this program back home here in Nigeria where you have, it's called Maso Yibu, where you have different people being brought in. You can introduce such at home as well to say, okay,
today, that Maso Yibu. My second daughter will just scatter the whole house if they don't speak English. She will just scatter the whole house. So now, what should parents do when children refuse to speak the language or feel embarrassed? What should parents do?
Okay, so for me, handling resistance shouldn't be a forceful thing, which I'd said. Resistance is normal with kids, mm-hmm. but children trying to fit in into their environment, especially if it is something that they didn't really grow up with, if it is something they have been introduced at some level of their life. So for me, parents shouldn't try to introduce a punishment or shaming the children. Mm-hmm. So instead, I think what should be introduced or in handling resistance should be to normalize the language, normalize it with them, and model the confidence inside of them. Let confidence be spoken out loudly in that terrain when you're trying to introduce them. Speak it with joy. Speak it joyfully, not forcefully. Celebrate every attempt for them to speak. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a particular speech that a child make. Celebrate it. It might be that, oh, you did this. Okay, can we pop a drink, and you know, celebrating mm-hmm. that mileage. Mm-hmm. So for that child, the child feels celebrated, and you know, he wants to learn more. Also, just mix it with humor. Let the children hear positive stories about their culture. Also, is also one of the things, telling good tales about the culture, about where they are from, how the language has helped people build out. Like the story
like a child that understood the culture, that understands the culture, that understand the people and the community. We not end up in future like some people have done. Say bad things about where they are coming from. I don't want to mention name. I don't want to break the table, but you know, they will not talk about bad about that if their parent has actually taught them, and they understand the culture, the people, the community, their language, and they understand the essence. You know, they won't grow up and later there's an adage in Yoruba, maybe you say that omo kini kan to fowo si ju wele baba or something, you know. There's that saying, you know, you can't just, you know, maybe because you speak Yoruba so fluently, Kemi, maybe you can also interpret it in Yoruba, though, in English for me, you know, you won't just even feel like where I'm coming from is like a gutter, it's like a bad place. It's like, you know, you will cherish, you will love, you will appreciate your people. And you always say good things about your people, no matter what happens, no matter how other people view them. So you've mentioned some of the tools, but in your own opinion now, how does culture shape a child's confidence?
Okay, so like I said, culture gives them sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ways it gives them an identity to say it gives them an identity to say where I come from, we love one another. Mm-hmm. Where I come from, like we said earlier, we're communal. We don't reject people. We love people. We give. So those are some of the things that culture brings to table, teaches a child. Mm-hmm. So when a child knows that where they come from, they stand taller whenever they go or wherever they go, you know, that identity is there to say, yes, I'm a Nigerian. We are giants. We don't give up. Mm-hmm. We always win wherever we go. You understand? So that confidence is in them without confusion to say that I am strengthened by everything that I know about my culture. So culture strengthens them. It gives them that self-esteem. Mm-hmm. It gives them that resilience. Yeah. It makes them to be emotionally stable. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not, I don't know. You know, somebody was telling me, I think it was a child, you know, in this part of the world, in as much as we know that, in the, there is what you call, what is it called? The mental, you know, in the Western world, you know, you guys, everything,
you know,
mental, so, you know, it's all mental, we want mental, so there's the, where our culture demystifies such a thing that makes you, even if you're going through some certain things, you have a way of weathering through it. And before you know, you'll see the light at the end of that tunnel, and you are out of it instead of wallowing. So the culture teaches you that we are one. You can tell me your issue. You can always come to me when you don't have what to eat. That is what our culture preaches. And you come around, I feed you, or I feed a Didi. That is what our culture preaches. So those are some of the things that when a child sees and identifies with that culture, is rooted in it, and it feels belong and not lost in the world, because there is nothing as bad as identity crisis when somebody have identity crisis. So when a child understands that, is not lost in the world, so they feel anchored, they feel handled by something that is bigger than who even they feel they are. Even when they are in a setting that want to try to bring them down, they stand above it, saying that embracing the culture that has breeded them or from where they come from.
Thank you very much, Kemi, for all the practical tips. So what is one thing you wish every African and Caribbean parent in the diaspora or anywhere in the world would remember about culture and language? What is that one thing?
I think one thing that should be remembered by every parent is that one word that was used earlier, which is the identity. Identity and who you are, which is the one identity thing. So it's if your child goes about knowing who they are, they can be lost. So once that one is right in our mind as parents, then we have that confidence that my child won't be lost in anywhere he or she finds find himself or herself. So my child knows who he is, which is one thing that is core and what our culture stands for. So for me, I think that one word is identity.
Okay, thank you very much, Kemi. We're going to be wrapping up now. But before we finish, we wrap up completely. Thank you to everyone that has joined us on TikTok Live. Thank you for joining us, and remember to follow me tomorrow Sunday. I'm going to go live on TikTok, because I know a lot of people want to join in so that we can talk more about this tomorrow. I'm going to post on my TikTok, and do just turn on your notification when I go live so that we can chit chat on this. We can, you know, dive more into this, because there are a lot of things we want to share, experience, want to encourage ourselves as parents wherever we are in the world. So now, as we begin to wrap up, let's go deeper into the art of this. Many of us grew up with aunties, with uncles, with grandparents, you know, telling stories by moonlight. Here are children. What we have nowadays is tablets and TikTok, you know. So how can families create that meaningful cultural moment in a busy, you know, lifestyle, especially people that are no more in Africa, no more in the Caribbean, you know, maybe in the Western world? How can we create, you know, that meaningful cultural moment?
I think number one way will be to always ensure there is a family time out together, whether in the home. It doesn't necessarily need to be something that has to be to have cost implication. There must be a family time. So when there is family time, there is that fusion of what you're trying to introduce, of the identity you're trying to create. And another thing is also to belong to communities. Wherever you are, I'm sure that there are different communities in the diaspora that people can join carefully now. Joining carefully now, that also can help. You also, you know, by mentioning you said Tales by Midnight growing up, you know, this one thing that helped us. We always, no matter where you are, you run down home. You always come and join that. So if there is something like that for a child to run home to see, I think it will help. So what is your child running home to see? as family, what are you always running on, and that
brings me to the fact that content producers actually should actually do more, because that time, that era where you're mentioning, the content producers actually remember that they need to do so many things, you know, that has to do with our identity, our culture, our heritage, and everything. But now, what are those content producers churning out now? So it brings us to that.
I think that can be thrown back to you. You're part of the content.
So that is why I'm doing what I'm doing now, taking it back to the roots.
Yeah, which is right. You know, last Sunday I was preparing for church, and one thing I always do is just to try to look for one song to listen to while I'm preparing. So I switched on to YouTube and I saw, like, you know, an AI modeled cartoon kind of, and it was done by someone, and when I heard all the songs they were singing, I had to practically just subscribe to the station.
Wow, you need to share that with me.
Children department. Yeah, children department at the church. That this will be useful. So if we have content creators doing things like that, yes, there are a lot of things that are being done now with AI. There are a lot of trendy things that are being churned out now, and our children are being fed with this thing. So if things like cultural stance are built into all of this, I think it will be a good thing. The introduction of Coming Alive of AI is for us all to leverage on, and not just have it our children watching what will not benefit them, but things they can look at and really want to learn. There is one guy, I don't know his name, but I do see his content where he's always showing off his family. And the guy is married to a Caucasian, and the children speaks Yoruba very well. They speak Yoruba very well. And things like this, he puts it out there for other parents to also see and encourage their children. Yeah. So those are contents that, there's some kind of contents that can help us. And if in honesty, our family, there is a family value that preaches that when you get home, there is something to gain.
Yeah.
You see children.
Yes, it's huge, Kevin.
Yeah, you're right.
Go on. Yeah. So it's we can't even, you know, finish up this night. Maybe we need to come back, but then I hope you'll be able to join me on TikTok live, you know, so that we can rub minds and talk more, and parents can share stories that will help other children. Thank you so much, Kemi, for joining us tonight despite the short notice. And to all our wonderful listeners, thank you for spending your Saturday evening with us. For myself and my sake, Kemi, remember, giving your child is a sense of where they come from is a gift no school can teach. No school, even in Westminster, can teach. Teach them the language, teach them the food, teach them the stories, teach them the pride. We'll see you next week for another beautiful conversation. And I'm your host, Faye Kemi. Thank you to everyone that joined on TikTok. I'll see you tomorrow evening on TikTok. That's 6 p.m. UK time. We'll go and do that on TikTok as well. Wishing you a warm, joyful weekend. Let's take it away with Family First by Whitney Houston. Good night, family.
Good night. Bye.
Thank you.
So be a shoulder to cry on when you're in need. They'll never leave you alone, no.
When your friends bring you down
and they drag you through the dirt, and when nobody's around, they'll carry you through the hurt. Just remember that family comes.
Is around.
No one is around. instead of being with those who love you. Just remember that the cards matters
when no one is around.
You gonna run?
Do you think out there they'll love you when your face is all
you know
around?
That we love.
When you feel your strength is almost gone and your arms are getting weak.
Ooh.
And you don't think you'll keep on.
Just remember,
family comes first.